Thank you, Val, for the prayer. Thank you, praise team. And good morning, Hope. I mean, you guys here can say good morning. Good morning, Hope. I know we did a text greeting this morning, but why don't we turn to the people around you and say the following words. So may God's word, so turn to the person next to you, even at home. If you're alone, you can maybe text someone again and say, may God's word bless you this morning. Amen. It is my privilege again to share God's word. And I sincerely hope that through the witness to God's word this morning, you may be motivated now more than ever to enjoy true fellowship with your brothers and sisters in our community. This may be part of your rule of life that we keep talking about, which I will touch on more. And so let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you met with someone to share a meal? Well, we're not allowed, but share your faith journey. And I'm hoping that some of you have had the opportunity to do so, at least sharing the sharing part, because I have seen plenty of people all around our province as well following COVID protocol to catch up with their friends. For me, personally, Fridays have been a blessing as I get to come into the church for office hours. I come expecting to get all my schoolwork done, but usually end up working together with our staff, getting caught up in conversations about church, ministry, and God. And Misha is quite the talker, I must say. It's surprising how spiritually nourished, though, when I go home on Fridays. And this is not just to mask and make it look good. I am truly spiritually nourished on Fridays. And I hope that you guys, you all, can get a chance to create opportunities like this, where you can catch up and enjoy true fellowship with one another with respect to the circumstances that are happening around us. And so when you think about it, isn't it ironic how this global pandemic has highlighted the importance of fellowship? Like enjoying human company. Simple as that. I'm not even talking about just Christians, obviously. It's a natural human condition. Whether you're an extreme introvert, an outgoing social creature like Dave, or somewhere in between like me, we all desire human fellowship. And so to help us relate to this idea, I had an image that I would like to share. There's a reason why solitary confinement is a punishment. And this isn't prison we're talking about. When you think about it, prisoners are already secluded from society for a crime that they committed. But to restrict those social outcasts to further isolation from human contact is cruel and damages the human soul. What's even scarier is that isolation can be felt by anyone, not just in prison, even with those of us who have big families at home. And so when Moon and Joseph went to Korea about 2 years ago, it was during the semester I couldn't go, and Moon's grandmother had passed away. Back then, we could travel, so they went, and I felt really empty and isolated in our house. For some of you wondering, I did feel that sense of, you know, freedom, where I don't have any responsibilities, I'm by myself, enjoying the time alone at the beginning, but I really, truly dreaded going to bed alone at night, walking past Joseph's empty room, and I felt really, really depressed. You can make fun of me all you want, but it was a really sad and depressing week of my life. And that was just 1 week. And so I have this painting that I want to show you that Dave shared with me. You can probably see it on the screen. Dave shared this painting with me that he had envisioned of using for a sermon on hospitality. The painting shows how everyone is isolated, and depressed in their respective homes. I'm not an art person at all, but from observing the details, if you can see it on the screen well, it depicts the dark side of each isolated house. I can definitely relate to more than one of those homes that you can see in the picture, and I also hope that you catch the person on the far left interceding in prayer. And what I'm trying to convey here in this long introduction this morning is that humans desire fellowship. But the question I want us to ponder is, what kind of fellowship? Is it simple enjoyment of being in the presence of other humans? And so we keep talking about how COVID has kindled a desire for everyone, and the world may envision some sort of fellowship that they think is right. But I suggest that that envisioning, that the world's envisioning of fellowship is very limited. And in the end, it's only about self-desires. And it's only self-centered. And so the word of God this morning from Acts that we will look at gives us insight into what fellowship of believers is like, what true fellowship is like. You see, all humans desire fellowship, but the fellowship of believers as a distinct community is for the praise of God, for the glory of God. This is our identity and calling. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to Acts 2. And we will start reading at verse 42. That's Acts 2, and we are starting to read from verse 42. Hear the word of the Lord. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Fellowship. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. And so in verse 42, when we see they, it starts with they devoted themselves. We should make sure we know who we are talking about here. Brief background. These verses are a continuation of the record of how the Apostle Peter, he was preaching a sermon. He was preaching to fellow Israelites, his own people, to repent and be baptized in the name of the true Messiah, which is Jesus. I will be referencing Peter's sermon further along, but keep in mind that our text today is addressing the new community of faith. To be a little more nitpicky with details, this community that we keep talking about, we talk about all the time here at Hope, is the faithful remnant of the old Israel, the Old Testament people of God. And at the same time, it's like the new nucleus, like a new center for the new Israel, the Christian church. And if all this sounds unfamiliar or new, I encourage you to take our Surge classes. I've heard very good things about it. And I hear you get like free lectures from professors or something. I don't know. I have to pay for my education, but. So refresh your mind to the questions that I asked earlier. And this is the main point today. All humans desire fellowship. But what kind of fellowship? What would you do? What would you talk about? So going back to our passage, they, so the new community of faith, which is us, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And I want to break each down. First, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What teaching is that? Did they teach math, social studies, music? Now, I joke here while being a firm believer that all of creation witnesses to God, even, or actually, especially science. But here specifically, we can see that the apostles' teaching would have been about the gospel, the work of God through Christ. The apostles would have taught the gospel of God's kingdom just as Jesus taught it. And so it is the same for us today. It is part of our identity to enjoy fellowship by gathering around the Word of God, which we are doing right now. And I understand at the present moment that it may have become a habit and that many may find it very comfortable to just turn on a YouTube stream to hear God's Word preached, and which I think is better than nothing, in my opinion. But we must get that fellowship, True fellowship is not just getting a weekly dose of a Christian message, as Val said, not a download of Christian information to put in your brains. I mean, you can literally download this video right now after it's done. But it's about true fellowship, the full embodiment and enjoying the favor of God's people, as it says in our scripture this morning. And so secondly, how else did they enjoy true fellowship? It says, by the breaking of bread. Now this could have signified regular meals that were enjoyed together by fellow Christians, or it could signify that they were regularly enjoying the celebration of Eucharist, meaning communion, which we did all throughout the Lent season. It says that the early believers here in Acts met in personal homes and broke bread together. And in my humble opinion, there are many commentators that say, no, it has to be only communion, or no, it was just regular meals. But I think it was just both. Both of which would have been with the purpose of fellowship. And so in the early church, they got together regularly, and I want to emphasize regularly, not just on Sundays. Whether it's COVID or not, Sundays are not the only time for Christian fellowship. They broke bread, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, and this was part, again, of their identity, to have fellowship for God's glory. And so in the early church, like us today, devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, meeting daily in the temple courts. That was something common for the Jews at that time. You could say that it was their rule of life that they lived out regularly. But you have to wonder, what would they have met and talked about? Getting practical, getting into the details. What would they have actually talked about? I suggest that they would have talked about Christ, his teachings, heard and learned through the apostles, witnessing to other Jews in the temple courts that there is a true Messiah. Again, this itself is an act of worship, in fellowship. Lastly, Scripture today says that they prayed together. This could have been communal prayers during the celebration of communion, or like traditional prayers in their Jewish customs. Again, it was part of their daily rhythm to pray, sharing prayers, sharing the struggles in our journeys of faith. Whether we feel spiritually high or spiritually low, when we get together, what can we talk about? What can we do? One important thing, is that we can pray together. There is significance in individual prayer. We want to devote times, like part of our daily rule of life. Whether you know it or not, everyone has a rule of life. What we want to do is to be a little more intentional and acknowledge that we do and try to center it around God. But there is power and a great blessing when we gather together as a community to pray. And so it has been very encouraging to receive positive feedback about our Dwell prayer nights, which we want to continue to do, obviously, hopefully in person. Going back to our text, let's go to verse 43, and I'll read it again. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Performed. I don't really like this word in this translation because it makes it seem like the apostles were putting on some sort of spectacular show, you know, dancing around, making it look pretty so that all the members who were here, all the newcomers, would make sure they sign the membership cards or something. The verb here in Greek is egineto. This simply means that the apostles made miracles and signs happen or just come into being. It doesn't have this nuance of performing, putting on a spectacular show. And also, one does not even have to go far to give a little more context to what the wonders and signs may mean. And so going a little bit backward, to the beginning of Acts 2, remember, this is Peter preaching. Peter references the prophet Joel, which records God saying, I will show wonders and wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And Peter gives an interpretation of this in verse 22. So we're looking at Acts chapter 2, same chapter. And on verse 22, he says, Peter says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." These wonders and signs, they were pointing to Jesus and what God did through Jesus. They were, so the new believers and the community of believers were in awe of the gospel story, something that they now identified with. What Jesus did through his signs and wonders was giving us a foretaste of the kingdom, where there are no more tears, death, mourning, or pain. And these were huge signs pointing to the inbreaking of God's kingdom here and now. "Repent and believe the good news," Jesus says, "for the kingdom of God has come near." That's what the signs and wonders are about. It is then so natural to see this verse about signs and wonders by verses 44 and 45 in our text today. It's a famous, image of everyone giving up their property, giving up on the idea of, on the notion of owning private property itself. All the believers were together, and it seems that they had given up on this, and they shared everything in common to give to those who ever had any need. And so, asking the question, what brought about this idea? Who and what did they all identify with that they would all gather together to live in equality and unity? And this question, I understand, is a leading question because I have the answer for it. The what, I suggest, is that they were trying to reflect God's kingdom. They're in awe of the inbreaking of God's kingdom, and they were trying to reflect that here and now. The who is that they all recognize themselves as united in Christ. Paul expresses this idea clearly in Ephesians. I can pull out different texts, but this one expresses it really well. Ephesians 4, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And so I think this can serve as a reminder that what we have and what we own, is not truly ours. Everything we have, we owe to God. And I truly believe that even the very breath that we breathe is a gift. We are but dust without the breath of God living in us. And so it's interesting. In the Hebrew, breath or wind can be associated with the Spirit of God. And so without the Spirit of God living in us, we are but dust. And so the fellowship of the church gathers together to reflect God's kingdom. And we do it, by taking care of those who are in need. And so this serves as a reminder and encouragement of the projects that Hope has been a part of and continues to be a part of for our community here in Cloverdale and all across the world. We may get caught up with busy Easter or wrestling to get in-person service back up, which is natural right now. But at that same time, as we are busy with our services here, preparing, people who struggle continue to struggle. In the broken world that we live in, there is never a shortage of those who are in need. And so as I slowly close, I want to invite you to think about what kind of community we want to be here at Hope. What kind of fellowship do we want to enjoy? How is our fellowship different from the mere desire for human contact? In the concluding verses of our text today, it says, they gathered together to praise God, enjoying the favor of all the people, as God adds those who are being saved daily. And I'm paraphrasing. And so to conclude this morning, I want to reflect on the contrast between the world's fellowship against the fellowship of God's kingdom that we keep on reflecting on. And this is a little bit more personal. In the brokenness of sin, the world we live in is divided. No matter how hard we try to unite, it will always be divided. And being a little specific for my life, growing up, I can remember the cliques, the peer groups in middle and high school. I used to wander all over in especially my high school years, at every lunch break, trying to look for my people. I mean, you can see, high school wasn't very easy for an Asian kid like me. And I found, which is very ironic, that the only cure for this was to find more Asians, specifically Koreans. And this ironically gave me a stronger sense of identity. It did. It healed me of a lot of scars that I've had. But it caused more division in general for my life. Unfortunately, this type of division, this little specific example that I gave you from my life, this kind of division doesn't end when we graduate high school. It's reflected in all of our societies. To get a little more serious, thinking about police brutality, the dramatic rise in Asian hate crimes. See, when our society faces difficulties and is challenged, the natural desire for human contact and fellowship is very limited. People look to judge others and only look out for their own, however they define their own as. And so in the end, this natural human desire for fellowship is just for the amusement and satisfaction of our own selfish desires. And the brokenness that's reflected out there in the world, in our societies, is as much reflected in my own sinful dark self. I also fail to love my neighbors. I also fail to overcome division and racism in my heart. The fellowship of believers is not a perfect one. We are people who are called to enjoy the fellowship of saved sinners. We don't stop at the saved part. We thank God that He has saved us from what? From sin. We are sinners. Beautiful mess, remember, is what the church is. When we gather for God and not about ourselves, we are humbled. And our divisions, be it racial, cultural, social, financial, personality, age, looks, the way we dress, it matters none when we come to worship the Savior who died and rose again to overcome the power of sin. And so may we here at Hope be a fellowship that meets regularly to praise God, not just on Sundays. A kind that is in awe at the wonders and signs of God's kingdom. A fellowship of breaking bread and praying together to praise God the Father and Jesus our Savior. A community of fellowship who have everything in common and reflect God's kingdom for the marginalized because we identify with the Lord of all creation. And may the Holy Spirit continue to guide us in our fellowship together here at Hope. And that is my prayer for us this morning. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks. We thank you for allowing us to lament for the world and for each other. We thank you that we are given hope. Hope in anticipation that we will soon be able to practically enjoy the favor of all your people. May we be in awe of what you have done for us and what you continue to do for your people. And so help us to be a community that may enjoy this fellowship, true fellowship, which is for your praise and glory. Amen.